And it's 7 days to the Republic Bank Love FM Habitat Fair at the Kumasi City Mall. Hashtag Stop Galamsey Now. The Bulletin is live on Joy 99.7 and Hits 103.9 FM here in Accra. We are on Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi, myjoyonline.com, and affiliate in all 16 regions of Ghana, including Volta Premier Hall, in Kigali FM, Boli, ATL FM, Cape Coast, and Radio Max, Takoradi. Live on X Spaces, Facebook, and YouTube. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. Our top stories: orderly screening underway at the El Wax Sports Stadium, scene of a chaotic recruitment process last week, which resulted in a deadly stampede that left six people dead and several others injured.
They are being guided, of course. Most of them wouldn't know where to go, where to sit, and they are kindly guided to and then taken through what they are supposed to do, right from the gate, through the entrance, through the processes.
Office of Special Prosecutor to arraign eight accused, including former Finance Minister Ken Ofori-Atta and one other currently at large, before court next Monday, in the first step to initiate full trial of the SML case. Details plus we'll hear from private legal practitioner Martin Kwebu, who blames the OSP for letting loose Ken Ofori-Atta, resulting in undue delay in the commencement of the trial.
But the key thing is that, so he says he got the letter. Ofori-Atta says, I'm traveling. Well, for medical, let's leave out the reasons. But the main thing is that he says he's going out of Ghana. Kisiye Jabin had the letter and sat on the letter. Help! This is a big indictment on these institutions.
And what was meant to restore order has instead led to hundreds of Pragya riders taking to the street to protest a new traffic law barring them from parts of Kumasi's central business district. We also have sports.
Sports Minister Kofi Adams backs Ghana to co-host a future FIFA World Cup with Nigeria and Ivory Coast.
Now, as World Children's Day is celebrated globally today, children advocate for their rights to be understood by adults and respected.
Every child is entitled to be educated.
Some of the children, their voices are not being heard, and I wish that the authorities would address their concerns.
More, as they say, it's time their voices are heard and included in decision making. Also, why build when you can buy? UB Clifton Company Limited is offering patrons exciting discounts to own a house of their dreams at the Republic Bank Love FM Habitat Fair, which is just 7 days away.
Now it's all about community living. It's all about de-stressing from hiring artisans and delays.
These and more with me, Pearl Ofori. This is Joy News, independent, fearless and credible. Now, enough. In our first story, order has returned to the El Wax Sports Stadium as the Ghana Armed Forces resumes screening of prospective recruits 1 week after a deadly stampede at the same venue claimed six lives and left several others injured. Joy News checks this morning showed a calm and tightly coordinated process, with applicants moving through clearly marked queues and the strict supervision by military personnel. The renewed order contrasts sharply with the chaotic scenes that triggered last week's tragedy, when thousands of hopeful applicants converged on the stadium without adequate crowd control measures, resulting in the fatal crash. My colleague Fatal Bayaga was at the El Wax Sports Stadium and joins me with more. Fatal, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us on the Midday News. Now, what specific measures have been put in place this time to prevent a repeat of what we saw last week?
Pearl, according to the Ghana Armed Forces, five main recruitment centers, supported by eight additional sub-centers, have been established across the region to split the huge numbers and also ease the congestion. Pearl, here at the El Wax Stadium alone, two centers have been created, each accommodating about 800 applicants. And Pearl, unlike last week, today chairs, canopies, and a more structured seating arrangements have been provided to prevent applicants from standing for long hours in the scorching sun, and also to speed up the process today.
At Air Force Base, that's in Bema Camp, we are having one team there. At Nicholson Park, also in Bema Camp, we are having two teams, A and B. At Eastern Naval Command Tema, we are having one team. And then that's a center with one team. And then at training and doctrine command at Techin, we are having one center with two teams.
Okay.
So basically that's how the arrangement has been. From today till Tuesday, we are envisaging to finish at Tuesday, but then when we are not able to finish, we are going to continue until we are able to cater for the numbers. They are being guided, of course. Most of them wouldn't know where to go, where to sit, and they are kindly guided to, and then taken through what they are supposed to do, right from the gate, through the entrance, through the processes. From the way things have gone, we definitely intend keeping this. For that, I can assure you, and then perhaps even improving it, making it better than it is today.
And I still have my colleague Fatal Bayaga on the line. Can you provide us now with clarity on the number of recruits expected this week compared to last week?
So, Pearl, here at the Elwak Stadium, about 1,600 applicants are expected to be processed between today and Monday. The officials say that if they are unable to finish all the numbers, then on Tuesday they will continue with the process. They also indicate that this system is being rolled out across all the centers here in Accra.
What we have seen is very satisfactory. I mean, it's impressive. Seen that, yes, they have now formed quite a number of centers, teams, to simultaneously assess the eligibility of the applicants who are interested in joining the armed forces. We've also seen for ourselves that, look, the doctors are at work, the teams that are responsible for the documentation are also at work, and these things are happening simultaneously. And so from here, we are going to go to some other centers and see whether what we have seen at the Elwak Stadium has been replicated over there. I am very convinced, because we've been briefed by the CDS, that that is what they have done across all the screening centers. So I'd like to use this opportunity to commend the CDS for the visionary leadership he has brought to bear, even in the face of the disaster that happened. I mean, we are so far impressed, and we're going to send back a positive fee to the right honourable speaker at whose instance we are here.
So we had there the Chairman of Parliament's Defence Committee, James Ogaga. Fatal, if you can hear me, do we know if the victims of last week's stampede have recovered and returned to be enlisted? We know some of them were at the 37 Military Hospital receiving treatment. What more can you tell us with regards to that?
Well, the officials here would not provide an exact number, but they say that many of them have been discharged from the hospital at the moment and are receiving care at home. But at the moment, they say that none of those who were injured is here today. But in the coming days, their leadership will determine what would happen.
Well, we also know that some applicants in Tema spoke to journeys that are going through the process at Eastern Naval Command.
Okay, I got here around 6:58 a.m. It's okay today as compared to what happened at Elwa. Today has been simple, and then everything is on point. Every correction has been made and everything was successful.
The exercise was peaceful and successful as compared to what happened at Elwak. I would say this is very, very cool. And we pray to continue like this so that those who will come after us will also have it peaceful.
They took care of us so warmly and no struggle. Everybody was directed whatever to go and see. All of us, we sit down quietly and obey every instruction, so everything will go well here. So we appreciate it. We get here by 5:30 and by 6:30 they start everything.
In other stories this afternoon, the Office of the Special Prosecutor has announced readiness to put the 8 accused, including former Finance Minister Kenneth Furuata, before court for the first time. The move comes 2 days after the Special Prosecutor officially charged the 8 on 78 counts of alleged multiple procurement breaches, causing financial loss to the state and using public office for profit. The office has been providing some update on the case on its social media handles, and my colleague James Aveji joins me with details. James, what more does the statement say?
Pearl, it's a straightforward one. It says accused persons will be arraigned before court on Monday, 24th November 2025. The prosecution will seek the necessary court orders for service of the charge sheet on the fugitives who are outside of the jurisdiction. And so that's what they have been saying. Our understanding is that for the two who are not in Ghana, mm-hmm. they'll be praying the court for some liberty to serve them, which may mean that they may be tried in absentia if that succeeds.
Okay, we'll hear from counsel to the former finance minister shortly. But first, let's hear from private legal practitioner Martin Pebu, who says the OSP must be blamed for the delay in initiating the trial process by letting the former finance minister loose when there was clear evidence available to him in November 2024 that Ken was leaving the country in the heat of the allegations.
The fact that he finally came to confess, right, I think on the 5th of November, that before Ofuriatta traveled, he, Kissie Jabin, intercepted the letter Ofuriatta wrote to both the incoming chief of staff and the outgoing one. He said he intercepted the letter, then he ran to NIB, didn't get help, ran to National Security, didn't get help, and ran to immigration and didn't get help. This is a big indictment on these institutions. Right. Kissie Jabin had the letter and sat on the letter. Come on, look.
But you yourself have said that's not what he did. He tried to get the state agencies to intervene to help him secure him, and they didn't. He says that didn't happen.
He didn't sit on it. So far, I can tell you, Evans, an authority that I spoke to somebody at NIB, that person was in charge at the time. He says he has never received anything from Kissie Jabin, meaning that now Kissie Jabin must produce evidence. What did he take to the NIB man? Right, for now, I just want to leave out names. As now we are advocating for full investigations into this matter, we'll call the NIB man. Kissie should come and show, what did you take to the NIB boss at the time? What evidence did you take to him? In any event, your own law, Section 28, says you have police powers. So what is it? What was so difficult about arresting Ofuriatta? It says officers who exercise powers of police. So I'm reading the Office of Special
at the time they could have only held him for 48 hours,
but then you go to court.
We had a private legal practitioner, Martin Pebu, now lawyer for former finance minister Frank Davis, joins us via telephone with a reaction on this. First, let me ask you, has your client been notified of this court date to take plea from the other accused persons?
Good afternoon to your esteemed listeners and guests. Well, I can speak on authority, I said that my client, Kenneth Lataya Kuntunkunuku, has not been formally notified or served with any found charge. That is what I said.
So, when do you expect to receive this notice?
I suppose. No, my dear. So he does to formally step by the Office of the Special Prosecutor. I don't work there. I'm supposed to know. They know what to do. They will have to serve him. You know what I mean? It's a criminal summons. It has to be served on him personally. He has to be notified. And given indication of the charges, nothing of the sort has been done. So far as and where I sit, nothing of the sort has been done. If it had been done, of course, Kenneth Ofuriatta notify me. Something like that.
And when he's duly served, you said you have not been notified of the court date. When he's duly served, are you prepared to face the OSP in court?
But why? if allegations are made against you, it's not an end court. It's subject to proof in court. So, yes, if he's notified, we know what to do as lawyers. And he knows what to do as a responsible citizen of this country. Ken Ofuriatta has not ceased to be a responsible citizen of this country. Once upon a time, he was the Minister for Finance. Nobody should take away. If he is notified, we know what to do as lawyers. And he knows what to do as an accused person. So that question, I believe, is not...
You had a lawyer for former finance minister Ken Ofuriatta, Frank Davis. We can also hear from law professor Apiaje Tua on the latest Interpol red notice saga and extradition because he believes the OSP's official charging of Ken Ofuriatta is a step closer to bringing him down to face justice.
At this stage, having issued the charges against Ken Ofuriatta and others, probably the file is complete now, but again, you cannot fully tell because we don't have access to all the information available. But if that is the case, then they can then, that is going to do two things. One, it can help in their response to the Ken Ofuriatta's counsel before the CCF, that's the Commission on the Control of Interpol Files, that it has a case against Kenneth Furuata, and this is where it is. And so, and on the other hand, if that issue is cleared on the part of the CCF, then they can then proceed to have him arrested, that is, if he's still in the U.S., and then the matter will be will proceed to the court for the extradition hearing to be heard.
Foreign Affairs Minister Samuel Okudzeto-Ablakwa has told Parliament that 169 Ghanaians have been deported from the United States to Ghana since January 2025. He says there are a further 120 Ghanaians currently awaiting final decisions by immigration officials to be deported. Meanwhile, he has told the House that Ghana did not request monetary or material support from the U.S. for accepting the deported West African nationals.
388 Ghanaians have been in detention since January this year on immigration-related charges. Of this number, 120 are awaiting final decisions by the Board of Immigration Appeals. 49 have exhausted all legal processes and await final deportation arrangements. As of today, per the ministry's records, 169 Ghanaians have been deported to Ghana since January 2025. Of this number, 90 arrived in Ghana unaccompanied on commercial flights and 66 on chartered controlled flights supervised by ICE agents.
This understanding with the United States of America, what is in it for Ghana, for our national interest, and in the promotion of the public interest of Ghana?
The government of Ghana has not requested any monetary support, logistical support, any material support for this intervention.
We cannot take it to Parliament now and get more from my colleague Kwaku Asante. Kwaku, so we know that an NDC MP has been talking about the economic management skills of the current finance minister, plus a new name for the minority.
Well, in the debate of the 2026 budget, a lot of names have come up for the minority. In fact, since the 2024 election, they've been called mini-minority, micro-minority. According to the Secretary of Sue MP, the MPP group is now a one-corner MP, because if you look at the Isles of Parliament, they only occupy one corner. He has also been talking about how the current finance minister has been managing the economy. He says it's because he does not want to become a fugitive from justice, like Kenneth Furuata has been described by the OSC.
Mr. Speaker, before I became a parliamentarian, I heard that this house had two sides, your left-hand side and your right-hand side. But ever since I came here, I have seen a median. However, what I have seen are corners, four of them, one of which is occupied by the MPP, which was in previous government. So today, our friends in one corner are trying to tell us that they have forgotten the basic economics of the distinction between economic growth and economic development. If this is what you did, then I'm not surprised that you went into the examination in December 2024 and your best score was 87 out of 276. You see, we have been reduced to one corner. In this one corner, a minority you are enjoying. We would not want to be like you. We would not want to be like you.
And Kwaku, what else is expected to happen in the House today?
The budget debate is expected to continue. The focus will be on agriculture, education, and the Lands and Natural Resources Minister is still expected to appear before Committee of Parliament with regards to the lithium deal. Consensus has still been agreed by the minority, who insist that the deal they negotiated is better than that of the government.
Kwaku Asante is our parliamentary affairs correspondent. Thank you so much for bringing us up to speed with what's happening in the House. Now let's take you to the Ashanti region, because hundreds of Pragya riders in Kumasi have poured on the streets in protest of a road traffic law that has since barred them from accessing routes in the central business district of Edum and Kejetia. The aggrieved commercial tricycle riders earlier picketed at the Kumasi Metropolitan Assembly to present their petition to the Kumasi mayor. My colleague, Emmanuel Bright Kwaku, joins me live with details from the Regional Coordinating Council, where the group is headed now. Emmanuel, bring us up to speed with the latest.
All right, so as we speak now, I'm currently at the Regional Coordinating Council where the angry Tiger Riders just left the area. They presented their petition to the regional minister, but we are told that the regional minister is currently not in office, and so it was received by the director for the Regional Coordinating Council. And we also had the Kumasi mayor himself, Richard Oforia Dimanjodi, also present here to receive the petition. In fact, as the riders have been saying, they say that although they have been barred from accessing the central business district of the Juma Kedipia, some police officers or some security guards continue to extort them. And so we raise a concern to the Kumasi mayor, and he has assured that once whatever they have enlisted in their petition, it will be addressed. In fact, they also want the legalization of Okada, as the president assured in his budget statement. In his campaign promise, he indicated that they were going to legalize. And according to them, since their engagement earlier, somewhere in March, nothing really has been done. And so the frustration is what has forced them to pour out onto the streets today. Very well. To Kumasi Street. They started all the way from the Kumasi Metropolitan Assembly.
And Imano will
leave to the Regional Coordinating Council. So that's the latest from the Ashanti Region Tell.
Imano, we'll leave it here for now and get updates from you as and when it's needed. Now you're listening to the Midday News. Still to come, why build when you can buy? UB Clifton Company Limited is offering patrons exciting discounts to own a house of their dreams at the Republic Bank Love FM Habitat Fair, which is just 7 days away.
Now it's all about community living. It's all about de-stressing from hiring artisans and delays.
You're welcome back to the Midday News. It's time to bring you sports now, when Mubarak has the latest.
Pearl, Minister for Sports and Recreation Kofi Adams is urging government to explore the possibility of co-hosting the FIFA World Cup alongside Nigeria and Ivory Coast. Now, USA, Mexico and Canada will stage next year's global showpiece, with Morocco, Spain and Portugal set to jointly host the 2030 edition. Adams says Ghana can take inspiration from these partnerships.
They are beginning to adapt a number of nations doing it. So maybe, who knows, the next one will be Ghana, Nigeria, and then Cote d'Ivoire coming together to also host the World Cup. And it will be good. With the level of infrastructure His Excellency John Dramani Mahama wants us to do, I believe that we together with Nigeria and Cote d'Ivoire, who have already invested quite a lot because they hosted AFCON not too long ago, we can also ask for that right.
That's Kofi Adams, Minister for Sports and Recreation. Back to you, Pearl.
Thank you so much, Mubarak. We can now take you to the Western region. And authorities say they are still unable to confirm how many illegal miners may have been trapped in the collapsed abandoned shaft at Pristia, where three people died after an underground incident. An investigation collaboration between Heath Goldfields, the Minerals Commission, Natimo, and the police are on, combing through the caved-in tunnel. Meanwhile, reports claim the numbers can be more. Spokesperson for the Lands Ministry, Abdul Kabori Mahmood, gave updates on the incident on Joy News Desk.
It is actually the right time to listen to the minister, to listen to the president, to listen to the CEO of Cooperative Mining, so that large-scale mining companies can cede part of their legitimate mining concession lands to government. Government repackages it as cooperative mining. Then we're able to push all the community young people there to avoid some of these
Do we know how many were trapped under that mine?
Preliminary investigation suggested there were three. They presumed that there could be more, so they were digging and they were doing further investigation. Until that investigation is concluded, we must not be able to give any number apart from what the security agencies have given us. But I'm happy that he has decided to collaborate with all stakeholders.
All right.
Making sure that safety protocols are ensured on their mind.
Now, children want to feel excited, heard and loud, but sometimes that is not the case in their homes and communities. Their voices are often overpowered by adults, ignored by peers and barely faceted in decision-making. At the World Max World Children's Day today, my colleague Hannah Odami has been speaking to children on their rights.
Section Blue has just clinched victory in a general quiz competition at the Beacon Springs Christian School here in the National Capital, Accra. and the excitement is deafening. However, their teachers interpret this joy in a different light. For them, beyond the academic skills demonstrated, these quizzes reveal the students' talent and underscore the practical application of their rights as children, emphasizing the theme for this year's celebration, My Day, My Rights.
It will help them to build their confidence. Because if I heard some of the kids even raising their voice that say, you are being biased, and so on and so forth. It's one of the ways that we want our kids to behave.
The students who shared how they feel when their rights are overlooked and not recognized expressed their aspirations to pursue careers that advocates for children's rights, ensuring their voices are amplified in decision-making, especially those